Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Yesterday, we spoke with Assemblyman Pat Burke, and today in studio, and I always appreciate the in-studio supervisor, Gary Dixon. Supervisor, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
I hope people hear this and say, hey, we can go to I love having people in studio. I think it's a much better conversation face-to-face. So Pat Burke made the announcement on the steps of West Seneca Town Hall. What's your response to some of the claims that he made in that announcement and on this show yesterday?
Well, I mean, so, you know, yesterday morning, I'm out in town dealing with our bear sighting, and, you know, I get a text from town hall saying there's something going on in, out front on the grass, and I'm like, you know, fine, you know, so what? And then they said, oh, you know, it's my opponent and some other people that they know. So I said, okay, you know, fine, I can sort of guess what it's about, but, you know, I mean, let me deal with the bear. You know, the town business does not stop. And so I came back and I did listen to, on the Odyssey app, put a plug for that, I listened to your interview.
Thank you.
And I thought, this is just too rich. We can't let this go by.
So he talks about transparency and accountability. And, I mean, as you heard in the interview, all the examples that you could use on the Democrat side, he uses an example from West Seneca. So for the listeners who might not be familiar with that example, exactly what happened on the town council that the assemblyman's referring to?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm very happy that after 13 years in public service, he finally, you know, seized an advantage to transparency. So, you know, I applaud him for that. And when I'm elected, I'll be happy to continue with that bill, should he actually submit it. But yeah, so we had an unexpected resignation from the town board by one of our councilmen. And then so we talked to the Erie County Board of Elections. We looked at town law. And by town law, the town board is supposed to appoint or has the right to appoint somebody to fill out the rest of the year. There's still going to be an election this November to fill out the rest of that councilman's term. But I mean, the town board has the right or the even responsibility to fill it out. And we were actually getting heat from some of in the community, including one of our a frequent commenter at a town board meeting criticized us for taking so long, said, you know, we voted for a five-person board and we want a five-person board. What are you waiting for? So we did what we thought was a unusually open process compared to all the other processes that have been around lately. And we asked for people to send in resumes. We talked to people individually. We talked to people that we knew would be a good fit. In executive session, we interviewed two candidates. There were three, but one pulled out. And at the end of the day, we settled on Mark Priori, who is not unknown in town. I mean, he did run for the assembly against my opponent last time, and he won West Seneca by 7 points. So already he's a popular person, at least among the voters in West Seneca.
So before Pat Burke even commented on this, you were getting comments that you were taking too long. And the reason you were is because you were trying to have a more open process than, say, what happened in Tonawanda.
Well, and that's what's ironic is, so here we are. We are elected officials. We have been elected by our town to make decisions. And that's what we did. We followed town law. On the other hand, in Tonawanda, that announcement was made by the Democratic Party in Tonawanda first. So you have a group of people. Nobody knows who they are, pretty much. They're not elected. They selected the supervisor. And then later, the town board voted for it. But make no mistake, it was not the town board's decision. It was the party's decision. Whereas in our case, it was definitely the town board's decision.
And like you said, I mean, you even went back and looked at the votes from when he was on the ballot in West Seneca, and you used that in your decision making. Like you said, well, the voters, they gave him approval one time already.
Absolutely. So he's already well known. He's already had that been just a West Seneca race, he would have won it.
Right.
You know, it wasn't. He didn't win the race, but. Yeah, so I think he's a good candidate. You know, as always, you know, we go with the ones that people who want to run. You know what? We talked to several people. I talked to several people who were maybe interested, or we approached a couple people who thought about it, and at the end of the day, decided not to. So, you know, you can only choose people who come forward, and we did ask for. People from the Democratic Party. We had one Democrat submitted a resume, but he later pulled out. And I approached at least one Democrat to run or to be appointed. So yeah, this was of course it's not a perfect system. And if my opponent can come up with some tweaks. Like I said, I would be happy to follow up on it when I'm in office.
It's just so rich for him to bring this up now. He says nothing about Zellner, who is Zellner. I love in the ads, it says Jeremy Zellner, the endorsed Democrat. Yeah, who makes that decision? Jeremy Zellner. You've got Crystal Peoples. And you know, I have a lot of respect for Crystal Peoples. She's been a regular on my Sunday show. But, you know, it was a coincidence that she waited till after the primary so Jeremy Zellner could pick the replacement with no input from the community. I mean, it was Crystal Peoples was literally announcing that she's not going to run, and Jeremy Zellner had already put the press release for Leah Halton Pope. It's just so rich that now in an election against you, Pat Burke decides this is the one he's going to point out.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it happened with Tim Kennedy. It happened with when Crystal Peoples Stokes left. And as I mentioned, it happens with John Flynn. Now, sometimes those are appointments to the nomination of the Democratic Party. But when you're in a position like in Buffalo, where there are so many more Democrats and it always votes deep blue, In effect, the nomination to the Democratic line is, in effect, the appointment to that race. Now, this is in, for example, this is in the contrast is with Nick Langworthy, and I heard him bring that up yesterday. So Langworthy had a bona fide primary. Yes, he was, we can say, endorsed, or the party was behind him, but he had a bona fide primary. So before he ever took office, it was a hard-fought primary against Carl Palladino. So he did not, by any stretch of the imagination, waltz into that position in Congress without at least some of the voters being able to say, have an opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you look at Zellner, he went into the special election. He gets that so he can run as the incumbent, you know, Langworthy. And as soon as Langworthy won the primary, I believe he already had plans in place to step down from the chair. Unlike, again, Jeremy Zellner, who's running for another term in the chair in September, regardless what happens in this primary. So obviously, Pat Burke does this. It puts a spotlight on the election. You and Pat Burke for the 142nd Assembly District. And Supervisor, as you said, I mean, you've got town things to deal with as well. It's not like you can just campaign for the district. But how is that campaign going?
I think it's going well. You know, of course, we'll find out in November, you know, what the public thinks. I am out going door to door frequently. I'm going to lots of events. I mean, literally almost every evening and every weekend is taken up with something. So I'm able to do, you know, we have excellent people working in the town. I'm able to do all my responsibilities in the town. You know, we'll have the budget ready by the the middle and end of September. So I think for now we're able to do it all. You know, I wouldn't want to be running for years, but I think we can do it for 6 months. But I just want to get back to the transparency. I absolutely support transparency. I think my first town board meeting, we had Paul Wolf from the New York Coalition for Open Government come and talk to us. I think it's valuable, and I look forward, if he ever actually submits the bill, I look forward to seeing what his ideas are and supporting it or tweaking it or whatever the case may be. I think we definitely need to do something that deals with these party nominations in one-party districts, you know, because that definitely takes, for all practical purposes, it takes the decision out of the public's mind. And plus, since he's all of a sudden on a transparency kick, I absolutely hope he'll join me in calling for term limits at the state level. And I think public hearings before any bill is passed, just like we have to do at the local level.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk transparency. I mean, Pat Burke's been in the assembly long enough now. We could definitely use some more transparency in Albany. I mean, the amount of stuff that happens behind closed doors, this budget being one of them, the closed door sessions with Democrats going through this budget that took 2.5 months to pass over the deadline. It is interesting. I mean, it's not surprising because that's how politics is. It is interesting that now he's talking transparency when he can use you as the example because you're his opponent.
Yeah, and you know, the public can look on both of our Facebook pages. Mine's, you know, Gary Dixon for Assembly. He has a couple of them. And you can make up your own mind. Who do you think is actually taking this job seriously and who is not? But, you know, talking about transparency and the budget, I mean, I did a post on this. I mean, and my question was perhaps rhetorical, but is there really democracy in New York State? I mean, for 2 months, they talked about a bill that they said would total $268 billion, which was still a very large increase over last year's. But all the discussion was, well, we're going to add $500 million here, we're going to add a billion here, and it's going to go up to $267, or maybe it's going to go up to $268. So then they pass all the budget bills. And then all of a sudden, the Division of Budget for the state says, oh, you know what? It's not 268. It's actually 277. So why the sham of saying of haggling over 500 million or a billion or whatever when you can bet your bottom dollar that somebody in the Division of Budget knew that it was going to be way over 268, and it was only, what, 3 or 4 days, maybe a week after the budgets were passed, that I said, oh, yeah, well, you know, all the stuff you agreed to, that's going to be $277 billion, which is $23 billion more than last year's budget. I mean, they have no self-control. they will spend our money any way they want to, and they really don't care. And, you know, it's really, it's the three person in a room like it used to be. You know, the vast majority of people in the Senate and Assembly have no idea what's going on. And they're presented a budget bill, and they say you've got 24 hours or less to vote on it. And it's chock full of all sorts of policy bills. That is not democracy.
No, now, Gary, you know, you're running for Pat Burke's seat. If you were to go to Albany, you know, what would be the first thing that you think you could get when it comes to, like, the spending? Because I just heard about the Tier 6 adjustments and everything. I mean, it does seem like eventually the state's going to run out of money. You know, I mean, eventually there will be no pot to pull from if we keep on increasing the budget by billions every year.
Well, and not only do they increase the budget, but then they pass, they send, unfunded mandates down to the localities. You know, even my colleague in Cheektowaga, who we don't necessarily see eye to eye politically on, even he commented that this Tier 6, since it's unfunded by the state, is going to cost every single municipality in local government, including the schools, is going to cost them money. I'm not against at all Tier 6. I support changes in Tier 6. But as the Association of Towns and the Association of Counties said, that money should be funded, the increased cost should be funded by the state.
You know, I said when Sean Ryan won mayor of Buffalo, I said I think there's going to be certain things he sees as mayor that might make him question things he did as senator. Do you think having that supervisor experience gives you a different look at some of the policies that some members of the assembly just will not have?
Absolutely. For one thing, you know, if you're in local government and even when you get into county government, you get away from this. But when you're in local government and you have town board meetings and you have people coming up to you in the grocery store and talking to you, you know, we have intimate contact, very close contact with our residents. And if they don't like something, they are not shy and they tell us that. If they like something, though, they're not shy and they'll tell us that. So we have a much more visceral understanding that every dollar that we spend comes out of somebody's pocket. So when someone comes to me and says, you know, the town can pay for this, there's no like, you know, pocket of money that's called the town money that does not come from the taxpayer. So when you're saying the town can pay for it, you're saying the taxpayers can pay for it. And that applies at the county, that applies at the state. This is not magic money. Every dollar that we spend comes out of somebody's pocket, and it is our responsibility to be as responsible as possible with spending public money, understanding that business is what makes this country great. The businesses that succeed, someone's ability to start up their own business and to be successful, that is what makes this country great, not how much money government can spend.
I've asked every Republican this. I've got to ask you this. You're on, you know, down ballot from Bruce Blakeman. What are your thoughts on the GOP candidate for governor, and have you had a chance to talk with him?
I did meet him the other day. He's a very impressive guy. You know, he's got that local level experience. He's the county executive of a very large county. It's right next to New York City. Like me, he won in a district or in a jurisdiction that is majority Democrat. So when I ran in West Seneca in 2019, it was almost 2-1 Democrat. I won pretty handily. And then when I ran for re-election in 2023, I won by, I think, 18 points. So the public is very happy with what we're offering, which is basically good government. So I think Mr. Blakeman has the same experience. I think compared to Kathy Hochul, I think he's you know, light years ahead. And then the people that he's running with, I mean, our attorney general candidate and our candidate for comptroller are unbelievable. I mean, our Joe Hernandez for comptroller, he came to this country as a refugee from Cuba with nothing, and as a young child, and now look, he's a successful Wall Street guy, and he wants to help out with his adopted state. and Sarita Kamath-Reddy, the attorney general candidate, former federal prosecutor, former chief of staff of the DEA, very impressive woman, and I think she'd be a great AG.
Feels like, you know, when Pataki beat Cuomo, it's time we turn some things around and we could have that same kind of upset this November. Gary, while I still got you here, obviously the black bear. We all heard about the bear yesterday. What was where was it located? And what do you say about the people who were like literally up on it taking cell phone videos?
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to boost your social media, put something about a bear. I mean, we got, I think, in 24 hours, 300,000 views. This is nature. You know, we have creeks throughout the town that are very, you know, completely undeveloped, obviously, and they link to Elma and to further on. And so these animals are looking for food. And this is a young animal. Probably 2 to 3 years old, 120 to 140 pounds, according to the DEC officer we talked to. And he's wandering around. He's looking for food. And the advice is don't give him any food. Don't get close to him. Don't scare him. He is smarter about nature than we are. He will figure out if he doesn't find any food, he'll go back to where he came from. The worst thing you can do is to feed him, because then all of a sudden he's not leaving. And when that happens, then the DEC said that's when they might have to tranquilize him and remove him, which is not safe for the animal. So the best thing to do, take your bird feeders inside. Heaven forbid you're feeding deer, which is illegal. But if you are, stop it and make sure your garbage totes are secure. And eventually he'll figure out, well, there's no food around here. I'm going to go back to where I came from. And that appears to be what has happened. You know, these things move like 5 miles an hour. So they can go 50 miles in a day. So, I mean, he could be in Wyoming County by now.
Probably is. Hey, Gary, always great talking with you. And if you and your opponent want a place to debate, Hardline is the show for you.
I am always willing to debate as many times as people would like.
And we will be talking with Gary throughout the election.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.